Father and our God, we bless your holy name. We thank you because you are God. We thank you because there is none like unto you. We thank you because you are great and you are greatly to be praised. Of you, through you and unto you are all things. By you all things consist. You uphold all things by the word of your power. We welcome you this evening into our midst, acknowledging you as God, expecting yourself, expecting you, sir, to show yourself great and mighty in our midst. Blessed be your name. Oh, thank you for granting us unprecedented open heavens, visions of our God. Let your welcome express it, and let your hand be mighty upon us, stretch forth to confirm the same word with mighty signs and wonders in our lives individually and corporately, causing us all to advance forcefully in the plan and purpose of God and be more conformed to the glorious image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for myself as I bring the word. Have mercy on me. Help me, O God, to minister as an oracle, God. O, under the covering of my said Father, our said fathers, and the Lord Jesus, the Bishop and the Shepherd of our soul, so that, Lord, your word will have a free course from the throne to our fathers through me unto all of us, and we will receive this word not as word of a man, but as word from the throne of God, which is able to build us up and give us inheritance among the saints, which is able to work mightily and effectually in us as we believe, which is able to save our soul and bring us to the expected end of our God and his good pleasure of our life. We thank you, Father. We bless your name. I'm praying, O God, that you help every one of us to receive this word with meekness of heart and, Lord, with understanding, and to run with it, to be doers of the word, that be profited, and our profit will appear to all, that your name might be glorified, that our joy might be full, that you see the travail of your soul as the likeness of your Son is reproduced more and more in our souls. We bless your name. And Father, as this word comes forth, we pray, O God, that also it will be a refreshing to our parents in the Lord. Oh, they will see the travail of their souls over our lives too, and they be glad, and they bless your name. We appreciate you for guiding us at your feet again, so that we can learn of you, and being taught of you great might be our peace and prosperity. Blessed be your name for this and even much more, which you do in our midst tonight, in Jesus' name. We lift up all our brethren that are connecting with us on the internet. We pray that the same blessing will be upon them, and even much more, as they flow with what you are doing. They be partakers of the feast of our things that you are making on this mountain. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I'm going to bring a word on peace and worldliness. Say peace and worthiness. Okay, let's read this test scripture. Matthew chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. Matthew chapter 10, verse 12 to 13. And when you come into an house, salute it. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Say peace and worthiness. That is being worthy. Let's read another scripture before we begin to say what God will have to us. Luke chapter 10, verse 5 to 6. Is also another part in the gospel repeating the same thing, but there are different details in each one which we want to pick. And he said, into whatever house you enter, first say, you know, in the first one he says salute, in this one he says first say peace. peace be to this house. So we know what the salute is. Amen. It's a proclamation of peace. A proclamation of shalom. Then verse 6. Verse 6 of this, yes. And if the Son of Peace be there, can I hear you? If the Son of Peace be there, your peace will rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again. Praise the Lord. Say peace and worthiness. That is being worthy. Now, if you look at this scripture, it tells us something. That the fact that peace is pronounced upon you does not mean it will rest. I want to repeat that. The fact that a blessing is pronounced upon you does not mean that that blessing will rest. Now, there is something happening in the body of Christ now. Sometimes you see, let me use the word respected men of God. You know, that they pronounce certain declarations and certain blessings upon people unconditionally. And if you are a student in the scripture, you know that the promises of God, the blessings of God are not unconditional. Like somebody saying, you will never suffer defeat again. And everybody will stand up and say, amen. Now, it used to bother me. Do you understand? Because, like I said, respectable men. You know, men that... Amen. Before we came to the Lord, before we were even born, there have been men of God. Do you understand what I mean? That naturally they are even fathers to us, not to talk of. Then God gave me this scripture. He said, I never sent my men to curse anybody. I always sent my men to proclaim peace unto all men. You know, when the gospel was coming, the angel said, peace on earth and goodwill to all men. So I always sent my servants to proclaim peace because that's what I want. Right. Now, if it will rest upon you, it becomes your responsibility to make yourself worthy. Amen. So if you don't make yourself worthy, the proclamation will just hang in the air and return. So the fact that something has been proclaimed does not mean it will rest. Did you get it? Now, something happened about the time when Trump was vying for the presidency. At that time, we were praying for, you know, we know who we were praying for because we are on the internet. Now, based on instructions of our fathers and all that, and there were some respectable men of God that went to pray for Trump. Ah. I saw it on the internet. I saw it. I didn't know how it went in my heart. We all know the testimony we have of Trump, Abby. So I feel this man should know and all that. God referred me back to this scripture. Said, amen. If he wants a blessing and he requests for it, my servant will pray for him. But if he's not worthy, it will not rest. The only way it will rest is if he's worthy. Well, God is the judge of who and who is worthy, because worthiness is a heart issue. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro on the face of the earth, seeking a man whose heart is perfect towards him to show himself strong on their behalf. Amen. God looks at the heart. We know that, don't we? Praise the Lord. Amen. So that's by way of introduction. Amen. Now, if you compare Matthew chapter 10 that we read with Luke chapter 10 that we read, he said, amen. Can you quickly show me Matthew 10 that we read? Okay, if the house be worthy, let your peace rest upon it. Then when we go to Luke 10, he said, if a son of peace be there. Amen. So two things. So we know who is worthy is a son of peace. In the house. Do you understand? Yes, amen. the Son of Peace is the one that is worthy of the peace coming and resting upon his house. Amen. So the question is, are you worthy of the proclamations and the blessings, the peace, the blessings, you know, the goodwill that is being proclaimed? Or better, to what degree are you worthy? Amen. Or to what degree are you unworthy? That's why sometimes we see so many things proclaimed by genuine servant of God, and we see few fruits of it in the life of the people of God. Not because the servant is not genuine, but the people have not made themselves worthy enough for the blessing to rest, to receive, and to, you know, abound. There's nothing the servant of God can do. The least he can do is proclaim the blessing. Amen. Like, you know, God said to Aaron, said, this is how you will bless my people. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. But you must make yourself worthy for that blessing to rest. No blessing of God is unconditional. It is a lie from the pit of hell that because somebody pronounced something upon you for good, it will come to pass. If regardless of your not complying with the conditions of God. Hello. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Just by way of introduction, take note. Let's go back to Luke. Verse, the Luke part, verse 5, please. He said, unto whatever house you enter, first say, somebody say, first say, peace be unto this house. Now, you know that it was Jesus that sent the servant here, don't you? He sent the 12, he sent the 70. We want to redeem the time, so we don't need to go through that. When we need to mention that we did. Now, listen, if you say first say, that means there are other things he wants to say after the first say. Amen. So, amen. Did you get what I've just said? The first thing is just the introduction. Peace. Amen. Do you understand? So there are many other things that he has to say. So if you are not worthy, those other things that need to be said will never be said. Hello? Like the Hebrew was saying, he said, of Jesus, we have so many things to say to you, but you're already dull of hearing. So it is hard to be uttered. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Amen. So when he was sending them, he told them anything to say. He said, say peace first of all. Then if somebody is sick there, heal the sick. Say sick, be healed. If there is a leper there, say leper, be cleansed. If somebody is dead there, say dead, rise up. Hello? If somebody's eyes is blind, say eyes, be opened. So there are many other things that is following that proclamation of peace. But if you are not worthy, the peace will return and all the other things will not be said. Are you hearing God? Okay, after saying that, let's move forward. What is peace? We have said that too many times. Our emphasis is not on peace, but we mentioned it in going. Our emphasis is on the worthiness. But the peace represents a kernel of every other thing. It represents the summary of everything God wants to proclaim upon you. Every blessing God wants to impart upon you. So we are going to use that peace literally, and we are going to use it figuratively. Somebody say literally and figuratively. So when we say peace, the Hebrew word is shalom. It means peace. It means prosperity. It means total well-being. It means wholeness of the spirit, of the soul, of the body, of your life, of your family, of all that pertains to you. Are you following? Amen. It means nothing is broken. Nothing is missing. Nothing is wanting. Nothing is out of order. Everything is together. That is the true peace of God. Comprehensive blessing. Everything is okay. One scripture that captures that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. Let's see. Can we read together? And the very God of peace. Which God are we talking about? Very God of peace. Not just God of peace. The very God of peace. Sanctify you wholly. Somebody say wholly. And I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24. Faithful is he who also has called you, who also will do it. That is talking about the peace God is proclaiming. He wants to touch every aspect of our life with his power, with his peace, with his well-being and all that. Amen. So, now, without wasting time, we know that this is the will of God. Not only for the saints, for all mankind. Get that right. Amen. Jesus belongs to the sinner as well as to the saints. Amen. God gave Jesus to the whole world. Now, the reason why you are celebrating is because you have received him. The Bible says he came unto his own. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God. Amen. So, it is choice. Someone say choice. You can choose to make yourself worthy and receive him. And you can choose to make yourself unworthy and reject him. Say, someone say, God forbid. Amen. Amen. So, it's the will of God. Peace, prosperity, well-being, and amen. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, who is without shadow of turning or any variableness. James chapter 1, verse 17. So, as we move on, let it be established. That's the whole counsel of God for every man. But you have to prove yourself worthy for it to come upon you, for it to rest, and for it to abound. That's all. Prove yourself worthy. We'll look at what makes, how to make ourselves worthy later on and all that. Amen. You know, we have shared from one scripture before, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. It said, now, the God of peace himself give you peace always by all means and be with you. That's the will of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, but the will of God is one thing. Making yourself worthy of God's will is another. One of the things that God will always respect in our lives is the sovereignty that he has given our will to choose whatever we like. Say, I set before you life and death, good and evil, blessing and cursing. And I say, choose life that you may live, you and your seed after you. So, amen, is our choice. So, the will of God is one thing. The making of ourselves worthy of God's will and God's calling is another. Amen. Why is worthiness so important? We have said it, but I want to reiterate it. Now, why is worthiness, being worthy, why is it so important? Very simple. Because the peace of God, the blessing of God, the prosperity, the freedom, victory, whatever God has for you and is being proclaimed upon you, whenever it's prayed, pronounced, prophesied, or proclaimed, whenever you desire it, decree or declare it, we only come and rest upon you if you are worthy. God cannot break his word. The scripture cannot be broken. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you are not worthy, it does not matter how much time it is proclaimed. It will come, but it will return. Because the person that is proclaiming is sent of God, it will have to go. So shall my word be that great. It shall not, do you understand? But if you are not worthy, it will return and say, it's not worthy. Like one man of God said something one day. He said he used to bother him that we pray for people's healing and they will not be healed. So he was always bothered, and he would pray with all his faith. Then one day God told him, he said, why are you so bothered? He said, because every time you pray, healing always comes. Because I will fulfill my word. I say, if you lay hands on the sick and pray for them in my name, I will send the healing virtue. But if that person is not worthy, the healing will come and return. So it's not your fault if the healing returns. It's the fault of the person that he did not receive. Did you get it? So don't blame the man of God. Don't think he doesn't have anointing. Take responsibility for your life. If it's going to be, it's going to be up to you. Amen. Are you hearing me? Otherwise, it will return and never rest. So, worthiness is the key to make every blessing of God, every good and perfect gift, which we are using peace now to represent figuratively, to come and rest upon us and even abound upon us and our house. Now, we need to look at examples to understand these practical things. We are going to look at the example of Jesus. Now, can I say Jesus, the Lord Jesus, carried the Spirit without measure. He came to Nazareth, and he could dare not do mighty works. Say, anointing here for long by any. The Spirit without measure was not there. The people of Nazareth did not make themselves worthy. They were offended at him. Hello? It surprised me. Why would you be offended at the son of the soil who came with the anointing to come and bless you? You know why? They were not happy that he has showed them up. Do you understand? Because they grew together. Now, how can you come now and say you are a prophet? And me? You can. What about my own? You. So it's showing them that you are not living right with God. You are not worthy. You are not made. Do you understand? And they didn't want to agree with that. If they are repented, that anointing will have done mighty works. They will say, he could dare not do any mighty work save lay hands on a few sick folk and heal them. I think we should read that portion. Mark chapter 6, verse 1 to 6. Let's quickly read. Are you there with me? You are there with me. And he went out from thence. Let's read together. God bless you. And he went out from thence and came to his own country. And the disciple followed him. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many heard him. Many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence has this man these things? What wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? Verse 3. Is this not the carpenter? They still wanting to remain in the flesh. They don't want to see a prophet. They want to see the carpenter. If he has come as a carpenter, they will have sublimated him. The brother of James, Joseph, of Judah, Simeon, are there, his sister here with us, they were offended at him. So we can pick a picture there. We know that offense is one of the things that makes you unworthy. You can't be offended at the man of God and expect the proclamation to rest upon you. It is foolishness. Hello? Okay, let's go on. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is without honor, but in his own country. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own house. That tells you another thing that makes you unworthy. When you don't honor the man of God that God sent to you. Do you understand the oversight that God has appointed, and you know you despise in your heart? It doesn't show on the face. Those are the things that make you unworthy. So it doesn't matter the degree of blessing that is being pronounced. It will never rest. We may not know why it's not resting, but the scripture tells us why it's not resting. Do you understand? So I don't know which seat you are sitting on. If you are sitting in the seat of discomfort, kilo ti enso no. That's what we are saying. Those kind of attitudes and thoughts and words in the heart, do you understand, make you unworthy to receive the blessing that God is sending. And the issue is that it doesn't only affect you, it affects your house. Because the peace is pronounced upon the house. So if the son of peace is there, he will receive on behalf of his house. Do you understand? Yes. Amen. So we change ourselves when we behave like this. We won't behave like this anyway. God is helping us. Amen. We are worthy, aren't we? We are going to improve on our worthiness. That's what the message is all about. Amen. Let's go on. Verse, and he could there not do mighty works, save he laid his hands upon the few folk and healed them. Do you know what happened? Thank you, sir. They limited the Holy One of God. Do you understand? The spirit without measure came to town. And the spirit without measure could not do any mighty work. Except lay hands on a few folk. That means it was only those few sick folk in that town that were worthy. Now, even their own worthiness was little. But God, you know, he said a smoking flax will not quench. A bruised reed will it not break? Do you understand? Amen. Leaving a testimony that I actually came unto my own, but they rejected me. Amen. When he was talking to them in Luke chapter 4, he said there were so many widows in Israel, but unto none of them was, do you understand me, Elisha sent. Elijah, except the widow of Zarephath. You need to know that the widow of Zarephath is not a Jew. It's not an Israelite. It's a Gentile. She's a Gentile. Now, when I was reading that, I said, God, what's the meaning? God said, I'm the husband of widows. I want to take care of every widow in Israel, but they are not honoring my servant, whom I have sent. Do you understand? But there's a widow outside the border of Israel. He has been crying unto me. So he sent Elijah to that widow. Hello? How do I know that widow is worthy? I can tell you how. The Bible said to Elijah, he said, I have commanded a widow woman to feed you. Do you understand me? That means she submitted to the word of God. God's command. And how do we know when Elijah came? He said, woman, go and make for me. He said, I don't have anything, no, except this last king and all that. But I have had a commandment from the one who said he's sending you. I must obey that person. It wasn't Elijah that woman was obeying. It was God that gave her a commandment before Elijah came. Did you understand? And that widow was sustained throughout that famine. God wanted to sustain every widow in Israel throughout that famine. Because he's the husband of widows. But unto none of them could he send the servant, because they never honored the servant. They were offended at him. You shut out the whole heaven. No rain. They were offended at him. But he did it at the commandment of God. If they have honored him, God will have sustained them like he sustained the widow. But God needed a testimony. That's why he sent Elijah to that widow outside the border. He said, there were many lepers in Israel, but unto none of them was Elisha, except Naaman. Why? God wanted to heal all the lepers. That's what the anointing is all about. He said, heal the sick and cleanse the lepers. Yes, there were many lepers in Israel. God wanted to heal all of them, but never honored. They didn't count him to be anything. But somewhere outside the border of Israel, there was a girl who recognized, my master, while with the prophet in Samaria, he will cure him of all his leprosy. The girl was so convinced, but he wasn't in Israel. Though she was a Jew, she was taken captive. But the master honored her word. What does that mean? That means that man is humble. It's your slave is talking, and you listen to your slave. And she, do you understand? That's humility. It was that humility that made him worthy. He came all the way from Syria with his entourage. Thank you, sir. I hope you are getting something. Hello? 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 And when he even came, you know, he was first of all annoyed. He said, are there no better rivers in Damascus that can bat other than this useless Jordan? Then another servant took him and said, my master, if you have told you to do a big thing, will you not have done it? This simple thing. And he humbled himself again, submitting to the will of God, even when he don't feel like it. That's what made him worthy. Do you understand? Now, do you know why God did that? He needed to show, do you understand, a standard. That if his people has counted his servant worthy, he would have done much more in their midst. So he had to leave a testimony among the Gentiles. He came unto his own. His own received him not. But them that received him, do you understand, unto them did the blessing come and rested. Amen. Okay, that's one example. Amen. 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 Jesus came to Jerusalem. You remember his lamentation over Jerusalem? Okay, let's read it. Matthew 23:37-39. Jerusalem did not make herself worthy to receive the Prince of Peace, to receive the Christ that was carrying the Spirit without measure for the salvation of Israel, and they suffer for it. Now, listen. This other part, I need to say it. Let's finish this, then I will say it. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killed the prophet and stoned them which are sent unto thee, how often have I gathered thy children together as a hen gathered a chicken under her wings, but you will not. That means I want to protect you. I want to nourish you. I want to sustain you. I want to take care of you. But you keep rejecting me. You keep rejecting my servants. You keep rejecting those I send unto you. Those that I send to come and bless you, keep stoning them. So you count yourself unworthy. How often? But your house is left unto you desolate. Verse 9. But I say unto you, you will not see me and so till you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now here, amen. Now, if you don't make yourself worthy of the blessing God sends unto you, that blessing will return to the person that proclaim it. But something else is going to come, is judgment. Don't think that everything will remain the way it is. It's either you receive the blessing or receive the judgment. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. When God is coming, he said, I'm the God that exercises loving kindness, justice. Do you understand? He will send you loving kindness first. You are supposed to receive it and use it to repent and produce righteous fruits. But if you don't make yourself worthy, you can be sure judgment will follow. When those servants, Jesus said, the one that doesn't receive you, when you are going, just make sure you shake the dust from your leg. He said, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than those cities. Do you understand? So it's not, don't just think that, well, no problem, I don't need the blessing. That means you are, if you don't need the blessing, then you want the judgment. Do you want the judgment? So make yourself worthy, or better, increase your worthiness. Amen. Is it clear?
their degree of worthiness. Another word that you can use for worthiness is trustworthiness or faithfulness. It's the same thing. Do you understand? Make yourself trustworthy. Make yourself faithful to God and His servant and to His word that is coming. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's quickly mention some other examples of why worthiness is important. Then I will move to how to make and keep ourselves worthy of the peace, which we are using literally and figuratively now, for the blessing and the inheritance we have in God. Amen. Do you remember the man called Nabal? You remember him? 1 Samuel chapter 25 verse 5. The husband of Abigail. You remember him? Let's read together. And David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto young men, get up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. Yes. Next verse. Thus shall you say to him that live in prosperity. Peace. Let's shout it together. Peace. Both to thee. Peace. To thy house. And peace unto all that thou hast. Who is talking? David is the anointed of the Lord. Remember? So God wanted to bless this man. Yes, he had prosperity. He didn't know they needed peace. But you know what happened? The man was a fool. Was a folly is his name. He said, who is David? Homeless vagabond. Ring kankan shin. One shan kukakri. One went to mama phone. Do laughed. They are looking for people. Please, I don't want to see you around here again. Otherwise, I will ask my dogs to... Then they went back to David. Remember, the young men that were in the field, they recognized that it was David that was their protection in the field. David was their security, Pastor Wally. Yes, he was the one that was making sure that the bands of raiders did not raid. So the prosperity he had was based on the anointing of David. Do you understand? But he counted, who is David? David got furious. He said, oh, don't dwell the Lord unto me. If there remained somebody that pissed against the wall in the house of, and he got his men, 400 men. He was going to wipe all of them out. He will kill Nabal, he will kill his wife, he will kill all the body in the house of Nabal. That means when you are not worthy, it will not only affect you. So all the other people that were there, when they heard, he said, Madam, you don't know what is coming. David is coming with 400 men. He's going to kill all of us. And David has been good to us. He was the one taking care of us in the field. When, don't understand me? Thank God for a good wife. Someone say a good wife. Amen. The wife was worthy, even though the husband was not worthy. You know what Pastor have just taught us? The faith of the wife will sanctify the unbelieving husband. So, Abigail Sari Palemo packed everything that David needed and went to meet him in the way long before I get to the house. I said, my Lord, and we are sorry. You know my husband is a fool. Nabal is his name and all that. Don't mind him. Just please, we know who you are. You are the one that God said will be the king. And all, don't let him soil your hand. But then you get to the throne, you remember blood that you have shed. Please, let the men eat this and all that and all that. And you know what David did? He pronounced peace on Abigail. Let's see that verse. Verse 35. And David received of her that which she has brought to him and said, go up in peace to thy house. See, I've hearkened to thy voice and I've accepted thy person. So, because of a woman of good understanding, a woman who made herself worthy, the peace came and saved the house of Nabal. But you know something? God singled out Nabal. He said, amen. So the judgment, since, do you understand? So Nabal was feasting. He said, what was it? He was feasting like the feast of a king. That means he was lavishing everything on everyone. So he could have afforded to send to David. Oh, surely. So he was well drunk. So his wife couldn't tell him anything that night. So in the morning when his eyes was clear, he said, ah. Oh, Vatiku, you will have died yesterday. This is what I did. This is what I gave to David. The Bible said, and his heart became a stone. That stroke. It was like that for 10 days and he died. So his unworthiness killed him. Even though the faith of Abigail saved the whole house, his unworthiness brought judgment unto him. Let's make ourselves worthy. He has 10 days to repent. Thank you, sir. God gave him 10 days space to repent. Okay, let's move to the next person. Amen. Okay, let's see Eli, Anna, and the sons of Eli. Now, do you know that Eli is supposed to be the one that is pronouncing peace upon the whole Israel? That's the high priest. And his sons are supposed to help him pronounce peace upon Israel, blessing upon Israel. But the sons of Eli were not worthy. Neither did they try to make themselves worthy. They were sleeping with the women at the gate of the temple. And they were, just taking the offering of the Lord, anyhow, make it abominable to the people. But this woman, Hannah, she came to the temple, to the tabernacle, and the Bible said she was of sorrow heart, and she kept praying, oh God, that you have mercy on your servant. If you give me a male child, oh, I will dedicate him to you, and all that. And she poured out her heart, and she wasn't saying words, her mouth was moving. So Eli saw and said, you are a drunk woman. Get out from this place. Amen. Now, the man of God misunderstood her. Why? He wasn't in the spirit. But God did not misunderstand her. Amen. So she explained to the man of God, you know, I don't know how you feel. If the man of God is supposed to pronounce blessing upon you, say you are a drunk person. Say, you mean a drunk? Eh? You mean a drunk? But she wasn't offended. She said, alas, my Lord, I'm not drunk. It's because of the anguish of my soul. I was pouring out my heart. Then Eli opened his mouth. You know, Eli is already backsliding. But nevertheless, God respected that office. Look at what Eli said. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 17. And Eli answered and said, go in peace. Someone said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. We know the rest of the story. Amen. She got the male child. He became the prophet that brought a new order. But what happened to the sons of Eli? Because they were not worthy, judgment came upon their household. It came upon them and it came upon their father. And the priesthood was removed. Did God want to remove the priests? No. They didn't make themselves worthy. Yet, God used the people that he was going to judge to bless another woman. Did you understand what I've just said? Somebody that is on his way out of the plan and purpose of God. But because Anna was faithful and worthy, God still used somebody that is in the backsliding state to bring his blessing. Because the worthiness always attracts what God has ordained for you. Amen. Praise God. Are you hearing? Okay, let's read another set of people. Then we'll go to how. I still have some time. Amen. Let's read Deuteronomy 23:3-6. Because if I mention that, most of you may not be familiar with that scripture. The Ammonites and the Moabites made themselves unworthy. Let's read that scripture. Deuteronomy 23. We know who the Ammonites are and the Moabites. Who are they? Sons of Lot. Is that clear? Okay. Now, let's read. Then I'll make my point when we get to the verse 6. An Ammonite and a Moab, or Moab, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord unto the tenth generation. They shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Is that a blessing? Okay, go on. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt. That means they were already cursed because of their fathers. God was giving them another opportunity. Do you understand? So that he can reverse the course and bring the blessing. If they have helped Israel when Israel was coming out, God will have changed. Amen. Did you get it? But they refused. They went in the way. They met you not with bread and water, with water in the way when you came out from Egypt. Rather, instead of helping you, what did they do? They went to hire against thee, Balaam the son of Beor, of Petor of Mesopotamia to cause thee. So they didn't only refuse to help them, they went to hire to hinder, in fact, to destroy them with a curse. So what did God now say? Verse 6. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God will not hearken to Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto you, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Verse 6. Look at, thou shalt not seek their peace and their prosperity all thy days forever. Now, that is for the Ammonites and the Moabites. Is that what God ordained for them? No. God planned to give them a way of escape. They didn't take it. They did not make themselves worthy. Now, when they hired Balaam to curse Israel, you know, Balaam could not curse them. He tried many times. He made many altars. In fact, 7 altars on different mountains. Madam alone. Do you understand? You cannot be cursed if you are worthy. You cannot curse. Amen. How can you curse who God has blessed? There is no enchantment against Jacob. There is no divination against Israel. According to this time, it shall be said, see great and mighty things that God has done for Israel. Amen. So they went to many mountains. Balaam tried to see many visions on different mountains, but he could not curse them. But the children of Israel made a mistake. They went to make themselves unworthy. Balaam taught Balak. He said, oh, my hearing one, their secret is very simple. Let them sin against their God. Just let them sin against their God. It won't even be you that will curse them. It's their God. So you know what you are going to do? You are going to create a market near their camp. And you are going to tell all your fine girls. Do you understand me? To come half naked, to come and sell things to them. And when they are selling the things, they are going to be dancing with them. They'll be committing war done with them. And they'll be worshipping idols. The Bible says, and the wrath of God. So, because they make themselves unworthy, the people that cannot be cursed. Do you understand? The people that Balaam could not curse upon all the 7 mountains he went to, because they made that mistake, they attracted the curse. So what are we learning? Make yourself worthy. Increase your worthiness. Work at it. Are we learning something? Okay. Let's not act unworthily. Balak and Balaam could not even curse Israel until they acted unworthily. Okay, so we should make and keep ourselves worthy of the peace and the blessing, the inheritance that God has for us. We should increase our degree of worthiness. We can't afford not to make ourselves worthy of all the things that God has for us, because it's judgment that we follow. It's not that everything will remain as it used to be. There's no vacuum in the spirit. Do you understand that? Okay. Now, rounding up, how do we make ourselves worthy? We have pointed at some things in our, but let's condense it. I will just say the tip that Pastor gave me to summarize it. We're going to use some example to quickly point it. You see, there are some things that are easier to, you know, quickly identify when we are looking at people that God worked with. Let's look at this man first, the centurion in Capernaum. We are looking at how. You know that centurion? Luke chapter 7, verse 1 to 10. His servant was sick. And he sent the elders of Jews to Jesus, that Jesus will come and heal the servant. Now, Jesus was not going to go. But the elder of the Jews persuaded him. They said, he is worthy. He wasn't the one that said, I'm worthy. In fact, when you get to his own testimony, he said, I'm not worthy that you should come to my house. But the elders of the Jews told Jesus, he's worthy. He's a man worthy that you should do this for. For he loves our nation and he has built us a synagogue. Jesus has no answer for that. Because it is written, whoever bless you, I will bless. So he must go to the house of that man. Do you understand? So all the crowd turned, Jesus turned, is the house of that man that he was going. So when he was near to the house of the man saw that, Jesus is coming. He said, I'm not worthy. Can you see humility? Do you know who a centurion is then? Not a small man, no. When the centurion is coming, everybody will be shaking. He said, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. You are a man under authority. I'm a man under authority. I've been soldiers. I said to one, go, and he goeth. I said to another one, come, and he cometh. I said to this one, do this, and he doeth. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus opened his mouth and said, God said, he marveled. Said, I have not found so great a faith in Israel. You know what Jesus did in Nazareth? He marveled at their unbelief. Now, a Gentile is marveling at his faith. And they were the custodian of faith. They are the ones who should have faith and teach others faith. But they made themselves worthy. In fact, Jesus in the Matthew edition said, he said, in the last day, many will come from the east, west, and south to sit and dine in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the children of the kingdom will be cast out because they make themselves unworthy. That's the centurion. I hope you took note of characteristics that made them worthy. Faith, Abby. Loving God, loving the people of God. Abby. His own humility, I'm not worthy. Amen. Okay, so let's go on. Let's move to the second centurion. The centurion of Caesarea, Acts chapter 10. You will take note that all the people we are using as example, they are Gentiles. After I finished the study, I sat down and I said, God is saying something. He said, they are now standards to you. You know all the people we've been mentioned that made themselves worthy, so they have been Gentiles. Widow of Sarafat, Naaman. Do you understand? Centurion. This one is centurion too. Let's read Acts chapter 10. Sir, Acts chapter 10. Cornelius. Are we there? Acts chapter 10. Are we there? There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Italian band. Let's look at his characteristics, verse 2. Someone say a devout man. Devout means godly, reverent, pious. One that fear God with all his house. So he's not the only one that fear God with all his house. That's like Abraham. He will teach his house after him to keep the judgments of God. Which gave much alms to the people. That's love for the people giving. Abby? And pray to God always. Prayer always. Praying always without ceasing. What now happened? Verse 3. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel coming to him saying unto him, Cornelius. Yes, let's read verse 4. When he looked on, he was afraid. What is it, Lord? And he said to him, thy prayers. Someone say thy prayers. And thy hands are come up for a memorial before God. Remember in Malachi, He said, those that thought on the name of the Lord and fear him, he said, a book of remembrance was open. Amen. God remembered him when he wants to open the door of salvation to the Gentiles. It was his house that God paid the first visit to. It wasn't by mistake. He made himself worthy. Someone say devout. Someone say fear God. Someone say pray always. Someone say give alms. Did you get it? He made himself worthy. Now, he wasn't a Jew, but what he found in the law of God, he was devoted to it. He practiced it with a single minded. And God said, ah, Eleyi, Chochi, born again, which is faithful in little, Timba Funi, new birth, Timba Funi, fullness of the Spirit. Umajatip. Amen. Sorry. That this one is not yet born again. This one is not a Jew. And he's devoted like this. He's praying to me always like this. He fears me like this. He's giving him like this. If I give him salvation and I crown him, I give him baptism of the Spirit, he's going to break. Amen. You won't see his daylight again. And that's what happened. Did you get it? In fact, Peter had no option but to acknowledge that God is no respecter of person. That, and I know that in all nations, all that do righteously and fear God are accepted of God. Okay, let's move on. So he made himself worthy. So it was his house that God remembered first when salvation was coming to the Gentile. It didn't happen accidentally. Amen. In this day, when the Spirit without measure is coming, you better make yourself worthy so that God will remember your house. Hello? Are you hearing God? Okay, let's look at another example. I think I have four. Okay, we have mentioned the widow of Zarephath and Naaman, so we shouldn't belabor that issue. Okay, let's look at Abimelech. Someone say Abimelech. That one is even serious. Amen. That's the man that took Abraham's wife. Now, he did not take it by force. Abraham said, she's my sister. And the man paid dowry. I want to marry this woman. She's beautiful. And Abraham collected the dowry. So, do you understand? And that night, God appeared to the man. Said, you are a dead man. You are what? A dead man. You have taken another man's wife. He said, God, will you slay a righteous nation? He said, in the integrity of my heart, have I done it? He told me that she is my sister. And I paid dowry. Integrity of my heart. I said, okay, Otimoba. You are not knowing. It's not his sister, it's his wife. So return it back to him. It's because of the integrity of your heart. That's why I did not allow you to sin against. Yes, sir. That's why I gave you grace and mercy. So that your body will just straighten up. You won't remember Sarah. So it wasn't because you were a godly man. Hello? Now that you know, return the man, return the woman. We will now know whether that man has integrity indeed. When he woke up in the morning, he called all his counselors. He said, ah, God appeared to me this night. He said, I had another woman's. Let's return it. He called Abraham. He said, why did you lie to us? You want to kill us? Can you? Okay, please. He paid another set of dowry. Gave it to him. He said, God said you should pray for me and my house. Please pray for us. And they prayed and the blessing rested. It was worthy. Did you get it? Now, all these people are what? Gentiles. So what will happen to the children of the kingdom? If Gentiles can make themselves worthy, but the characteristics that makes us worthy, there are things that everybody can choose. Integrity of heart, humility of heart, honesty of heart, faith in God, loving others, giving to help others, fearing God. Praying always. Effectual fervent prayer. Are you getting the picture? Those are seven pillars of wisdom, aren't they? So those are the things that will make us worthy. Diligent application. Complete operation of the seven pillars of wisdom. Those are the things that will make us worthy, increase our worthiness, and keep us worthy, so that all that is in God's heart to do, like he told Abraham, he said, I know Abraham, he will teach his house after him, and commanded to do the commandment and the statutes of God, so that all that God wants to do, God can do in the lives of Abraham and his children. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me just give the rider that pastor pushed on it. Pastor said, he said, worthiness depends on the degree of your honesty and humility of heart. That's why the eyes of the Lord runneth to and fro, scanning the whole heart, looking for the man whose heart is perfect towards him. When God gets it, whether among the saints or among the Gentiles, he will show himself strong on their behalf. But it's not only the degree of honesty, like Pastor said, honesty of your heart, but also the consequence righteous conduct that you now operate because of the mercy and grace God gives to you based on the honesty and the integrity of your heart. So, if you make yourself worthy by, you know, developing honesty of heart, increasing in it, developing the humility of that, God will send grace and mercy to you. That God expects you now to use that grace and mercy to produce righteous fruits. Do you understand? Then, both the integrity of your heart and honesty and with the righteous will now make you truly worthy. Then the blessings will come, it will rest, and it will abound. Shall we pray?
Yes. Praise the Lord. Praise the God. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. What a good word. Great word that is. Very, very important word indeed. As Pastor Brian was speaking, one of the first things that occurred to me is that this issue of peace in a house or in a life is really God's way of extending his influence. He said there in the Matthew chapter, give me that Matthew 10 again. Matthew 10, 12 to 13. It says, when you come into a house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return. And the Lord said to me, that house could also be a city. That house could also be a nation. That house could also be a continent. So in other words, they say, when you come into a city, a house, a city, a nation, or even a continent, and if the house, city, or nation, or continent is worthy, then your peace will come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And he said something. He said that what was the first thing that God proclaimed when the Lord Jesus came to earth? Peace, goodwill to all men. The sad thing is that they were not worthy at that time. Only a few people were worthy. The shepherds watching over their flocks by night. And then those, you know, who consequently, I mean, like people like someone like Simeon, thank you, and Anna, said, who were, you know, watching and waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, this is what I believe the Lord shared to me, just very briefly. This is what God is going to do this end time through Zion Church. We've been talking here about the Zion Church and all the nations of the earth. How is God going to go into a nation or a continent that is totally unworthy? How is it? He's going to send a son or sons of peace. He's going to send his representative, the Zion Church, in every single, first of all, in every continent, to bring peace and proclaim peace to that continent. So that when he comes, in his fullness, there will be a representative house of peace in that continent. That's how peace is going to come to Nigeria. God is going to raise up a house of his son in this land. So when God now visits, there will be a son of peace. There will be a city of peace. There will be a nation of peace in Africa. So he, from that nation of peace, he'll begin to radiate to all the others. Otherwise, he won't be able to come in and bless that nation. That's why this move of God is so critical. Every single one of you is a representative of that son of peace. You are a son of peace. And wherever you go, peace should always follow. And where you go, God uses you to be a sanctifier of all around. That's how the whole earth is going to be full of the knowledge and the glory of God. The peace of God will permeate the entire earth. What does it say? It says in Habakkuk, it says, and in this place, where? In Mount Zion, this place, the God will, I will give peace. That's why it's important to forgive, he says. But so we see it's a technical thing. But we see it happening already. That's why there must be a Zion church in every nation, every time and tongue. That's why it says Zion is what? The joy of the whole world. Amen. So what God is doing is actually building us up by his grace and mercy to become sons of peace, who we can send out to bring peace to the whole nations of the earth. First of all, starting with this land, Nigeria, spreading to Africa, from Africa to all the nations of the world. Pastor said the other day, he was talking about, you know, the continents of the world. Every continent is going to have at least beginning a Zion church in it. From there, God will take sons of peace to send them out. It's the same thing. That's what he's doing right now. So let's key ourselves into this. That's where we are right now. God is about to unleash his peace upon the earth. Then the Lord showed me one other thing, which I believe is also important. When the earth was made, when the plan of salvation was created, it was always the Lord Jesus' destiny to be the one to bring it to pass. Amen? In other words, right from before the end of the world began, God has spoken as to what the Lord Jesus was going to do, you know, concerning, bringing forth the people called by his name in the earth that will now go to the nation of the earth, etc., etc. And all of God's end time plan hinged upon this, his one first begotten son, or the only begotten son, but the first begotten from the dead. Amen. But what I was trying to bring out here is the Lord was saying, said to me, he said, that plan depended on the Lord Jesus Christ being worthy to open the scrolls. Otherwise, it couldn't have worked. It would not have worked. The Lord had to make him worthy in exactly the same way you and I must now make. Let's see, give Revelation chapter 5, was it? Let's look at Revelation chapter 5. I'd never seen it before until Pastor Ben started preaching. It says, yeah, says verse 5. I'll start from the top. Let's see what it says. You know, I was sitting, the Lord spoke this morning. It says, so I saw in the right, start from verse 1. This is verse 1. And I saw in the right of him that sat on the front, a book written within on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Okay, next verse. It says, and I saw a strong ear proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals? This is the book that God had written concerning what he was going to do on the earth in the end time, to round up the entire age that we're in and bring, you know, succor to the entire world. Everything was in that book, but it was sealed. And it was, she says, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Next verse. And there was no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to look, not even to look upon it, to open it, talk less of reading what was inside. No man. And the Bible says, next verse, and I wept, the prophet John said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. This is why God, the next verse says, why God said, thy throne, O God. When he went to tell, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever. And the scepter of our kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. For thou lovest what? Righteousness. And hasten to next verse. And one of the others said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. Only he was found worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. Folks, you know, Pastor Abraham said so many things today, but this is the crux of it. God And you know, he said something when he was going, he said, "At my peace I live with you." Not as the other world. So we have everything in us, innate already, in potential terms. The only problem is, like he said, you know, it was only the Gentiles that were found worthy. Can you imagine that? That's an indictment. I mean, I never saw that until today. Only the Gentiles were being used as an example of being worthy. But you know what God says? I'm going to use those that are no people to provoke you that are my people. Because where they are not known as the people of God, they will not be known as the people of God. Just to provoke Israel. And that's what he's done today, provoking. If these Gentiles could prove them, say, what about you? God has given the Spirit, you've given the blood, the Word, the Spirit, the power, the covenants. We have absolutely no excuse. No excuse. No excuse. And God is calling upon each one of us here today to prove ourselves worthy of this great high calling. It's a high calling, you know. But it's a calling that God himself will vouchsafe us worthy of. He is the one going to do it. But all he requires of us is to believe and to humble ourselves. Will we do this today? The salvation of the entire continent of the earth. Let's even start with Africa first. Let's even start with Nigeria first. God has committed the salvation of this nation, Nigeria, into the hands of his church. So that when we go and we speak peace, the peace will not return back to us from our nation. But the people will abide upon Nigeria. And not only will it abide, it will also spread from hamlet to hamlet, from village to village, from city to city, until the whole of this nation, Nigeria, is clothed in the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And then men will come and say, "How do you do it?" And then from here shall go forth ambassadors. Ambassadors to proclaim peace, proclaim reconciliation to God to each of the continents of the earth, and from each continent others will come in that continent to take the lamp of peace to all the parts of it, until the whole earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, until the whole earth is filled with the peace of God. That's where we're going, folks. That's where we're going. I believe that's what God has come here today to inspire us through this wonderful word that Pastor Brian has brought, to know that we are ambassadors. That says we are given the ministry of reconciliation. We can only do so in peace. But we have to have that peace in us first. You can't give what you don't have. Amen. So from us, God wants to proclaim peace, goodwill towards all men. I trust the Lord will help us to be willing in this day of his power, in Jesus' name. Let's just speak to the Lord and just thank him for this beautiful message. Pastor Brian, I can't get over the fact that only Gentiles. I'm going to start searching the Bible, looking for somebody who God, the Lord Jesus, who was a Jew, who qualified in this way. I'm sure there will have been, but for the Lord to use so many Gentile examples, for the Word of God to have so many examples of Gentiles, there's something there that God is trying to say. Because the whole of Israel didn't believe in him. They didn't believe him. They did not. To whom he was sent, they did not believe him. Very few of them did. Cornelius, you know, Gamaliel, very few. Then, of course, the common folks. Lord, have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. Shall we stand on our feet, please? Let's ask the Lord to help us. Really, the truth of the matter is, this is a word that God has brought to us to encourage us to recognize that God wants to work in us and through us, and by us affect not just our own individual homes, thank God for that, but go beyond the home to affect your community, affect your state, affect your nation, from then to the nations of the earth. That's what all this is about. By the honesty and humility of your heart, prayer, and all these wonderful things you've been taught. Lord, have mercy upon us. Let's say, Father, we confess our sins. So we clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Put a hand upon your chest. Put a hand up to the Lord in submission. Amen. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word from your servant this night. Thank you so much for your mercy that is great upon us. We come to ask, Lord God, under the covering of our fathers, Lord God, in this Mount Zion, Lord God, for great grace and great mercy to make us worthy by using the blood, the word, and the power of the Holy Spirit to, Lord, cause our hearts to be humble before you, so that, Lord God, your peace will rest upon not just our hearts, but also our homes, our circumstances, and all that pertains unto us in the name of Jesus. So that in this day, as you visit us, Lord God, with your peace and your goodwill, that peace and goodwill will radiate from our lives, radiate into not just our homes, but into our community, into our nations, and from there to the nations of the world. We will bear your peace. We'll be harbingers of your peace. For your word says that in the place of Mount Zion, you will cause peace to reign in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Heavenly Lord, because, Lord, by your mercy in this regard, we will receive the fullness of the inheritance that we have in Christ Jesus in this day, being a witness of your peace and your goodwill to all men all over the nations of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen.